Welcome back to episode 25 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. You join us on a historic episode as we celebrate not one, but three brand new world records. The women's 1500 meter record was smashed by Faith Kipyegon over in Italy. Ben has broken the record for the most videos of nature reserves uploaded in 7 days. And Tom was not late to the recording of this episode for the very first time. Truly record breaking stuff. Lads, how are we doing?
How we doing, boys? Lovely intro that, Ben. Did you spend a long writing that?
Yeah, that was probably the best intro we ever had. Wonder who wrote that one.
Yeah, I'm all good, boys. I'm all good. I just absolutely wolfed down my prawn tacos because I had to go to the supermarket late this evening.
Prawn tacos, eh?
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's a weekly thing we have. It's quite nice, actually. Very simple, quick to make.
Weekly?
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Yeah, we basically have the same meal. Well, we have like 14 meals-ish that we like cycle. And
that's probably the most runner thing I've ever heard.
Do you really?
Not
like a thing? Is it written down anywhere?
No.
Put like a chart on the fridge.
You know when you just
7 day
your
training
head...
cycle, 14 day meal cycle.
Yeah, nice.
You know when you have in your head like that's a quick meal to make. So for example, if like we're both super busy, it needs to be like something you can cook in 10 minutes. That's like fajitas because it's like takes 10 minutes to make or whatever.
Yeah, it's all color coded.
If it's a weekend and you got more time, you might have something that takes a bit longer or whatever. But how, you know, when you go to the supermarket, you've got to know roughly what you're going to eat that week, don't you? So you can put the right things in the trolley.
Yeah, yeah, I respect it. It's just the fact that you said there's 14. Like,
14.
As if, if there's like 14 recipes on the side.
No, there's not exactly.
We're going to shuffle through them.
There's not exactly 14, but we have in our head like a, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 different meals that we kind of default back to. And prawn tacos has been a staple as of late.
Do you ever 10 minute meals?
Do you ever mix like... Do you ever like pair a meal with a session? Like, I don't know, you've got a big track session. So tonight we're going to have spaghetti bolognese.
Normally on Tuesdays, I say to Alice, just make whatever is most convenient and nicest for you. Because if I've got a hard session when I get back, I normally don't really feel like eating that much. Or if I do eat, I don't really, well, I always eat, but I don't appreciate the flavor or the effort the meal's gone. So if you know what I mean, because I get back, I'm just a bit like, oh, better just eat something. So
I don't go like,
oh, I've got 12 by 400. Let's have a chicken vindaloo kind of thing.
How are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right. Quarter of a century, eh? 25 episodes.
Yeah, that's not bad going, is it? Over 6 months.
Not bad going at all. 6 months, eh?
Yeah, wow. Crazy.
I love that I've been injured for three of them. That's really cool, isn't it? Really nice.
I know, and you still turned really up great. Every week. You've not done a bad job.
I've missed a couple, I think. Maybe one or two.
Yeah, only the odd one, but... Yeah. Considering you've been injured, I probably wouldn't want to talk about running at all if I were you.
No, well, it comes in waves. I find some days, like today and like the last week, I've really been into running and I've watched, you know, I watched Diamond League and whatnot that we'll get onto in a minute. And I've been quite up and about it. Whereas other weeks, I think, oh, fucking hell, not this bloody podcast nonsense again. I'm only joking. I actually just cycled. I rode a bicycle.
Oh wow!
Which outdoors? Yeah,
outside or on the...
So technically, right? I'll tell you the full story. It's not a very long story. I've just signed up for the gym. Literally, 20
the
seconds
gym.
Before joining this call, I've joined a gym. Not the gym. It's a local. It looks a bit weird, to be honest. It's just a little local gym in the town that I live in. But to get to the gym, I will cycle there, and my bike was at my parents' house. So I went and got my bike this afternoon in preparation for joining said gym, which I've now joined. I'm going to start like doing, you know, some like weights and that.
And the Tour de France on the way home.
Yeah, get well huge. But no, luckily it's only about I could probably do it in about 7 minutes, I reckon. The bike ride. Yeah, so it's not,
Do it in 6.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, see, I need to not do that because even in my head, right, this is how stupidly competitive I am, how toxically competitive I am. When I left my parents' house, I had to fight the urge to get my phone out and put a timer on to see how quickly I could get home. Bearing in mind it's straight uphill to get home. I was like, No, this would be stupid. There's absolutely no
logic. Oh, mate, I'd be all here for that.
Yeah, we'll get there. But no, it's good. That's probably the most exciting thing. I did.
Yeah,
that's probably the most noteworthy thing that's happened.
And is everything is everything just to minutes for you at the moment? You're just exercising for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, now I've got this membership, the I suppose the training will start properly. Like, you know, when you're just doing bits and bobs at home, yeah, you might still get the same benefit from it, but it doesn't feel like you are. It doesn't feel right to me just doing stuff at home. And if you can do like home workouts and stuff, power to you. But I personally struggle to get out of bed for, you know, doing 3 times 10 body weight squats, for example. Whereas now I've got this membership, even just doing my body weight squats on a gym floor will feel better to me. It'll feel like I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to do this, and then I can go back home again. And then when you get home, it's like, you know, job done. You switch off from it. So yeah, I'm actually speaking to Rose tomorrow, which I'm hoping I'll be able to feedback that, well, I will be able to feedback that I've had no awareness, no pain, no nothing for, I'd say, like, coming up to, well, maybe not quite a month, but coming up to a month of zero awareness whatsoever. I've been doing my exercises. I'm going to be back in the gym, which, yeah, I might be naive with this and I might be a little bit too optimistic, but I don't reckon I'm far off, like, getting back into running. Because she was saying before on a previous call that we had, once I'm able to do, you know, some simple strength and conditioning exercises like body weight stuff, and get on the bike for 20 minutes at a time without any pain, that's when we can start introducing like running drills. And then if I can do running drills, A skips, B skips, all that malarkey without any pain, then it's really like run walk is just around the corner. So yeah, I reckon by end of July, maybe mid to end of July, we'll be sat here on a lovely summer's evening and I'll have just been for a run walk. I'll have just done 3 minutes worth of running maybe, and we'll sit back and we'll reminisce on the past 3 months and we'll smile together, boys.
Sounds good. So what you're saying is you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's almost there.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's right there. I can almost feel it. But
good stuff.
Like I said before, this is the most important time to be patient, which is bloody hard work. But yeah, just need to be sensible now and not hammer it, not go to the gym and, like, you know, get my heart rate up to 180 beats per minute on the bike and then do strength and conditioning stuff afterwards. But just, you know, take it easy. Be gentle with myself.
Yeah, that sounds good.
The other thing I'd remember, and I'm sure Rose will put you completely straight on what's actually factual rather than my opinion, but if you think, like, when you run, they say you put, like, at least 3 times your body weight through your legs in force, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So when you're running. So obviously, if you can do a body weight squat, that's one thing, but then the force is another thing. So, yeah, maybe some progressive overload or, you know, something in the gym just to give you a bit more confidence before you go out pounding the streets, perhaps.
Yeah, you're dead right. Like I say, after 3 months of pretty much full inactivity, apart from like walking around, yeah, you can't just go straight back into running because your body will not know what's hit it, literally. So, yeah, it's all going in the right direction, I think. And before we move on, and Ben, you can get into your running week, podiumphysiotherapy.co.uk, that's Rose's setup. So, injured runners, and I know there's a lot of you out there, get on it, because she's been phenomenal with me. And yeah, hopefully we'll be back running in no time.
Lovely stuff, mate. Lovely stuff. Glad that things are on the up. It's been a very transformational process listening to you every week on this podcast, going from crawling to brush your teeth to now, you know, being ready to go back at it again. It's lovely to see, mate. And I'm sure the many concerned listeners that wrote in and kind of, you know, when we had some deeper conversation, showed the support, will be equally as pleased for you. So, yeah, I know you're not at the finish line yet, but it's good that you're nearly there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Callum. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice little summary, mate. Well done.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay, the only other thing that happened, we had Women's Hour at Pro Direct last week.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Lovely.
So yeah, in Battersea Park. Good. It's very wholesome. Like, I'll be honest, the difference between an all women's event versus like a mixed event, or, you know, like a group run in a traditional sense, is massive. Like, it was, I'm obviously quite a purist when it comes to running. I run, try and get better at running first and foremost, similar to you boys. Obviously there's other reasons too, but that is the the primary goal, right? Whereas I feel like the majority of people who are at this women's hour were there because running makes them feel just better as people. They were just there to socialize and to have fun and enjoy like running and having a bit of a chat together. So that was, yeah, the fourth version of Women's Hour, the fourth installment rather. And we had over 100 women just going for a little 5K around Battersea Park. There's some lovely little branded up deck chairs. Nike bought like a pretty sweet camper van thing down there. We had a DJ and some smoothies. And it was, it was a very wholesome evening, to tell you the truth. Well, I enjoyed
that. There's definitely something in that in terms of, like, I feel like we always set ourselves running goals and it's to break 15 minutes for the 5K or, I don't know, 2 minutes for the 800. I think it's really valuable to have, like, almost goals that are not based on times or distances. So, for example, I can remember when I started running, one of my goals for the year was to join my local running club. Like, just having the guts to go along to a new environment, somewhere that you've not been before, you're going to feel out of place, push yourself a little bit just to join a new group. And I feel like we need it because running is such a great sport of like individual performance, of trying to get better. I definitely think there's something in that that I don't know what I'm trying to say really, but I feel like going along to stuff like that almost brings you back down to earth in terms of like running isn't all about your individual goal performance, how well you do in a certain race. Sometimes it is about the community side of things. And I get that same sort of feeling when I go along to my local like park run or go along to running events like that. So yeah, that's definitely something to be said there in terms of why people run. And maybe, yeah, we could definitely have a little look at that ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. And it's like you say, Ben, I'm sure there were plenty of women there who maybe went by themselves or they were like terrified at the prospect of going to an event where it's with Nike and Pro Direct as a retailer and it all seems a bit like serious. But yeah, like I think it's very commendable and we get caught up in this bubble, right? Where, you know, I'm sure the majority of the people that you boys speak to are very immersed in running, properly in the trenches with it, like training hard, like following the running news, watching Diamond Leagues and all that sort of stuff. So it's you can get caught up in that bubble sometimes and forget to realize that not everybody is like that. Not everybody runs for that purpose. And it was quite, I wouldn't say I had an epiphany, but it was just a nice atmosphere to be around. It's nice to speak to those people and realize that there's more to life than running fast times or, you know, relative fast times to your ability.
That sounds nice. Do you reckon Nike would do like a men's hour as an alternative?
Well, you say that.
That is the most All Lives Matter comment I've ever heard.
what I want,
it would be horrific.
Is a Pro Direct run club, because this it didn't take very long to put together. And you know, the fall off rate when you do these things, like if you put a sign up page live, you might get 300 people that sign up and half of those people don't come. Normally you'll have like a 50% ish dropout rate. I wonder how many people would rock up if we just had like a regular, you know, like Pure Sport and Tracksmith and all that, like just a Pro Direct run club. That's what I would like, just to, you know, do a bit more community based stuff. And because everyone there, you know, like, you know, Dan Prettyjohn, well, like, we bloody love running. Like, running is our lives. So I would like to make it a bit more human, to be honest. Add a bit more of a human element to Pro Direct.
Yeah, I'd like a little USP on that, though. You know, I feel like every brand's doing a run club. You know, what are you going to do differently? Is it going to be try-ons from your stock? Is it going to be that you offer this or that? Or I know it's, like, still good for people to mingle and get together. And what I was going to say again about the women's hour thing, what I find difficult is my perception of the events, and I think this is normal, but my perception of all of these events come from the content I see online. And naturally, if you only follow the same type of people, you only see one version of content, if you see what I mean. So let's say, you know, I follow five people that went to that event. I see five different reels, different perspectives, and I think, wow, that looks like a really cool event. But I'd not even considered until you just said it then, what about the ladies who went along for the first time that have never been to a thing? Because I was looking at the content through the lens of people like, oh, well, they're really outgoing people that have been to this brand thing and, you know, it's really cool what they've done, and this looks like it's all the kind of same faces that I've seen at every event. So I think whoever does that type of thing really needs to make sure that they get the content of the people who, the stories of the people who are not the regular outgoing person that will be at an On event, then a Nike event, then an ASICS try-on event, and all these kind of things.
Because
I think, you know, you made a really good point then. I've just sat here thinking, actually, that's so true. Like, would I have said to some of my female friends, you should really go down and do this, it's going to be cool? Like, I didn't even think to do that. Whereas now I would definitely promote it to other people. Now I've, you know, thought that it is for everyone. It's not just for a certain type of person.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's got to be more inclusive, hasn't it? Like you say, Callum, you see the same faces at all of these different events. You can go Night of the 10Ks and On store launch, wherever, and you can guarantee you'll know like a decent whack of the people there. So yeah, it's that's probably the number one best thing about it, just the amount of people who aren't necessarily in the trenches with this running community and posting on Instagram every day with their get ready with me reels and all this stuff. They're just there because they want to meet new people and enjoy running.
And it's a mix of both. Just a caveat, it's a complete mix of both, because you need those people that are outgoing and confident and create amazing content to let the people who don't know about it. So I'm not at all saying like, oh, we should just, you know, I'm not trying to be that guy who's like, live off your phone, that I'm on Instagram all day, you know, it's my job. But like, I just think it'd be cool to hear about some other people that have gone along. I know, to give him a little plug, Cole Running did a YouTube video that I think came out either today or yesterday about him going to the Hoka try-on event with Ellis Cross and stuff like that. And what I found really nice about the video was that he went down with his family, and obviously they were there to support him and he was speaking and stuff, so I get that. But it made me think, like, that's so cool. I know his family's probably really into running, but to take your mum, your dad, your sister and you and feel like you can all be at an event where no one's feeling uncomfortable that it's not for them, or it's not too cool for them, or it's not too, you know, amateur for anyone. That's really unique. And whoever put on that event at Hoka probably did a really good job of making everyone feel like that. So I think, I'd love to see that element of it as well, because a lot of the people who follow me and I engage with are stuck in a mentality of like being super like hardcore club runners, hate influencers, you know, like, if they see Honor putting on an event and it looks too cool and edgy and hipster, they're like, nah, that's not for me, I'm a runner, you know? Whereas if they went along, they would really enjoy it, and they would realize that actually people might not be as good at running as them, but they all bloody love running just as much as the next man or girl, woman. my point that I'm getting at is I think a bit of broader marketing would be good for these types of things.
Mm. Yeah, I like that.
Valid point.
Preaching over. Anyone want to talk about their training?
Yeah, go on, Ben.
Yeah, go on then. I'll go through mine. It's a bloody big week, boys. I hope you're ready.
I know. And while you're getting ready as well, I've just seen something that next episode, I tell you what, I'm glad I've got a week to recover, because I've just seen something you posted on your Strava today. Someone just tagged me in it saying, what are my thoughts? And I'm absolutely seething.
Right,
what is it?
You've posted a 6-second activity where you're running at 219 mile pace just to promote Bulldog shaving foam. That's not what Strava was invented for. Anyway, that's next episode. That's next episode. That's a reason to tune in, listeners, because I'm gonna prepare a statement on that.
I've sold my soul to the devil, mate.
I'm gonna prepare a statement on that one.
I'll get my backup argument.
You need to
lined
just
up.
No, I'd no comment it if I were you, fella. I'd just no comment it. Yeah. Safest way.
I'll just send you a screenshot of my bank account.
I'm gonna get your Strava up, Ben, because I've not. Oh Christ. Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Go on, Ben. Fire away, mate.
All right. I'm going to try and keep this as brief as possible. So on Monday morning, 70-minute run with the lovely Dan. He is from Australia, and he supported me on my Sunday long run the previous week. And we met up, went for a little run together, and then we got a fika afterwards, which is a coffee and a pastry, if you guys are not familiar with the Swedish tradition. And so that was a lovely start to the week. I don't know.
Cause surely in this country, like, I don't know about you, but if I go Pret and I get the very berry croissant, I'll have a coffee with it. But it doesn't have a special name attached, does it? We should probably invent one, shouldn't we?
I think it's because in Sweden, they go for fika as more of like a, I don't know, it's more of a thing. that they do. So, for example, they'll get to 11 o'clock in the working day, and because the work-life culture here is so good, they'll just be like, should we go for fika?
Oh,
and then they all go down.
Oh, you should have said it was at 11, mate. That's called 11sies, if you've 11sies. Never heard of that. 11sies. Yeah. In the north, that's what it's called, 11sies. You should have said the time.
Exactly. So that's the very Swedish tradition of fika. You go for a lovely little run, you have a little bit of fika afterwards. So that was nice to be joined with Dan, lovely bloke. On to Monday evening, I did a 30-minute run with some strides. This was the last day that Meg was here, so I sent her off to the airport. She had to go back to work, bless her. But I decided to stay out in Sweden for another week.
You sent her off to the airport because she had to get back to work?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting word choice.
I mean, that's the truth, you know.
Mountain up in the kitchen.
Yeah. I had to stay in Sweden and crack on with my work, you know.
Yeah.
Which was a good training week. So that was Monday. Then on to Tuesday with my first sort of hardcore speed session. Hardcore for me, anyway. This was down at my local track here, which was about 3 kilometers away from the apartment. So it's a lovely little track. There was some children doing like a sports day type thing in like lanes from 2 to 5, probably. They were doing some hurdles on the back straight. So I did have to dodge a few little ones in some of these reps, but it was, yeah, a good session. So it was 2 by a K at around 5K pace, and average 2:57s for those. Felt pretty good. 2 minute recovery. Then I went on to do some faster stuff, 6 by 400 at 1500 meter pace. And these were all around 63, 64 with 2 minutes recovery. They were a lot harder than I had imagined. It's been a long time before I've been a long time since, sorry. I've done 400s at that sort of pace. So that was a bit of a shock to the system. Definitely needed the 2 minutes of recovery. Then I did a 1K hard. I was hoping to run around 2:48, which is almost goal 3K pace in my mind, but I think I was a bit too fast, to be honest with you. Then I ran 2:54, then had 2 minutes rest, and then I finished the workout with 5 200s at around 800 meter pace, or 29:30 seconds per 200. So yeah, really good session. Wore the Cloudo Boom Echo 3s, which feel really good on the track. They're a lot firmer than something like a Vaporfly, which sometimes feel a bit mushy on the track, I find, whereas these are a little bit firmer, whether it's just the way the carbon plate is molded or maybe the foam, but they feel really good on the track. So that was a really good session, but it did properly knacker me out, like around 6 kilometers, 6.72 kilometers at around my 5K pace average for the session. So yeah, that was a tough one. Definitely felt that in the evening. Went for a 52 minute run in the nature reserve that Callum made me mention in the intro. Saw a deer, lovely little reservoir or lake or something like that, and I was chasing a few mountain bikers around, and that was 10.9 kilometers at 4:47s. Wednesday,
I want Callum to try and present pronounce the name of this nature reserve. Are you on Strava at the moment, Callum?
Yeah, I am. Hold on. Okay, on the map. Are we going on Bliss? Yeah, that's the one we're reading. It's called,
yeah, Bliss.
Okay, that would be the Naka Reservet in Naka.
Perfect, mate.
It's pretty good, that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the Naka Nature Reserve. So, yeah, it's quite an easy one. On to Wednesday, did a 40-minute run in the morning, just an easy one. And then I did a bit of a group run in the evening. Me and my friend Adam linked up on Instagram to do our first ever group run, proper YouTube stuff. That was nice. 6 kilometres at 5:51 per kilometre, so nice and easy, around the lovely Dew Gordon, which is probably one of my favourite places in the world to run. It's all, you run alongside the forest and the water, and then you come back and then you're in the city. So that's always nice. And then on to Thursday, another big speed session. I ended up watching a Joe Klecker Sweat Elite video in the week, and I thought, oh, that looks like a good session. I'll give that one a go this week. So I don't know if you guys had seen that video. It's about a year, maybe 2 years old. But the session is 1600 meters, 1200 meters, 800 meters, 5 by 400. And you sort of progress through the paces. So you start at 5K pace and you work down again to around your 800 meter pace. And that was a really good workout. I won't go through all the splits because that will bore you. But yeah, hit all the splits pretty much bang on. Good session down the track. Probably should have moved this session in hindsight, maybe to the Friday, because on the Thursday I was still feeling the workout on the from the Tuesday. So yeah, I guess good in one way to do some speed on some tired legs, but in hindsight, I reckon give myself 2 days in between these sort of more intense track workouts moving forward.
Have
Then in the
you
evening.
always written, sorry, have you always written your sessions down on various limbs, or is this a new thing for you?
I've always done it on my leg. I think it's better than your hand because when you're recovering in between reps, you can have a little look down and see what's next.
But Does it not rub off the sweat?
not while you're running though.
No, you can't look at it while you're running, otherwise you get a headache.
I've also noticed, Ben, your leg in this picture is looking suspiciously hairy for you.
Really?
Yeah, I can see some hair on this kneecap.
Yeah, you can actually. Blonde hair there. I don't
Yeah.
know what. Maybe I'm going through puberty or something.
Get the razor out immediately. Get rid of that.
Yeah, get them shaved off.
Yeah.
So that was Thursday morning, nice speed session. And then I did 60 minutes easy in the evening, again in the lovely nature reserve. Some more videos there for you, Callum. On to Friday. I was a little bit late getting out the door, didn't get out until 1 o'clock. I've been doing quite a lot of branded content at the moment, as Callum touched on in earlier. So I was editing and liaising with various people. It's quite stressful stuff, this sponsored video malarkey. But anyway, got that done. 9.4 kilometers to the local coffee shop. It's called Drop Coffee. If you're ever in Stockholm, it's the best one by far. And then in the evening, I did a 50-minute run with some strides, and that was around the local nature reserve again. But I didn't take my phone with me, and I took a wrong turn in and ended up not having a clue where I was. And I said here, I was convinced for at least 80% of this run that I was lost. But I managed to find a sign that pointed me back in the right direction. So yeah, that was thrilling. Probably made me run a little bit quicker.
Hang on, lost in the nature reserve, you've run in like every day for the last sort of 10 days.
Yeah, but this is a got trail run. This is like trail running
You
written
know
all
what
over it.
you could have done? You could have downloaded all your stories from your archive and then just found your way back using all the footage that you've been posting.
Visual breadcrumbs, eh?
Yeah, that's exactly why I do it, mate. Just so I can get myself home. I'll have a
Was
look at my
good,
old
Callum.
video. Yeah,
It
that was good.
didn't even make sense anyway because you didn't have your phone with you, but I still had to get the joke out. It was on my
Yeah, no.
mind. It was there, so I went for
Fair play.
it.
On to Saturday, I did a park run at the local Haga Parken in Stockholm. It's to the north of Stockholm, took about an hour to get there. And I was actually going to go for the course record, which was 15:34. But after the two speed sessions in the week, my legs were pretty knackered. I thought I'd give it a go anyway. First kilometer was, let me have a little quick look. I think it was around 3:15. So I knew that wasn't going to be quick enough to try and break the record. So sort of just threshold efforted it after that. That's not a word. But basically, my legs were knackered, so that course record was out the window. But lovely park run nonetheless.
Did you
Good
still
community vibe.
win?
I did still win, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Beat a couple of local Swedish club runners who ran 16:49, and I ran 16:10. So yeah, not a bad effort on a pretty hilly course. You go up and round twice, a couple of hills.
Big Andy Rayner has put a funny comment on here.
Oh yeah, confusing title, Ben.
I can't.
Sounds like you haven't done a park run since 2019, which of course you have. What do you mean you haven't done a park run in Stockholm since 2019? Yeah, great comment.
I can't tell if that's satire or not.
Yeah,
Wait,
I don't
what
know.
the? Let me have a look at this.
You'll like this one, Callum.
Hold on, here we go.
I've just put correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh no, because you've put
First
Stockholm
one
Park
since
Run.
2019.
So what he's saying is it makes it sound like you've not done a park run since 2019. I get that, Andy. I get that, mate. Stockholm Park Run,
It's a fair
1609.
point.
First one since 2019. Yeah, but I'm sure he watches enough of your content to know that you definitely have done a park run. So
I'm glad
weird.
he clarified that, though.
Yeah, good, solid engagement. I'm going to give him a like. I've liked your comment, Andy.
I've liked it as well.
And
Oh.
And then on Saturday, I was watching the Stockholm Marathon with some old friends of Sideline Running Club, which is the club I used to run with when I was here. Did a little 1.85 kilometer run there, which I thought you guys would like to try and get to the stadium before the finishes. So I saw them at the 40 or 39K point, and then I was like, you know what? I want to see if I can get them across the line. So I took the shortest way to the Olympic Stadium, 1.85 kilometers at 4:37 with my rucksack. Managed to film them crossing the line, and that will be out on YouTube this week once it
But
gets
like,
approved.
why is that recorded? That's just you living your life, you
I
know?
know, mate. But when
Why
you're a
have you rec-
content creator, you've got to get as much promo out there as possible.
No, it's not. It's because you wanted to get to 100 miles, and at this point on the week, you were thinking, I don't want to be caught short at 99.5 or whatever. So you've thought, right, better just hang on a minute. You would have got there quicker if you'd not waited for GPS on your watch. You waited just to get
I didn't wait. I just pressed it
it.
and went.
There's almost 2 minutes of elapsed time on this as well.
Oh, you exposed. Hashtag exposed. Cancelled.
I forgot to pause it when I got to the stadium because I was so excited.
No, good run that, mate. Good bit of training, that 8 minutes 32. Banked.
Exactly.
In the
If it
bank.
ain't on Strava, it didn't count. Now we're talking
Yeah.
about it. So there we go. On to the evening. 60 minutes, nice and easy. Listened to a great podcast by For the Kudos, the Sinead Diver pod, going through her career basically from when she started at age 33 to now. Incredible career thus far. I'm sure she'll continue to run some pretty impressive stuff over the next few years. Listening to that. And then, yeah, Sunday, classic 2 hour long run. Didn't get out until the evening. Again, I was editing all day in a coffee shop. So I decided to do an evening long run, which I think is underrated, but I know some people find a bit alarming. But did a little bit of a lap of Sodomarm, which is one of my favorite islands. And then again, found myself in the lovely Djurgården area. Stopped the watch at 2 hours exactly and got the train from Gullmarsplan back to Bagarmossen, which is where I'm staying. So a lovely 2 hour run. Felt really good on that one, actually.
I know we say this a lot, right? We've got many trips that we've planned on the podcast that we haven't actually taken any steps towards booking, but we've got to go to Stockholm together, right? Surely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I can show you around.
This
It's a
place looks
beautiful place.
outrageous.
It is unreal. I think
Yeah.
I'm going to like actually do a proper training camp here at this time next year, like 2, 3 weeks maybe. Because I actually think I know it's not altitude, but the weather here at this time of the year is great. And you've got sunlight until, well, 11 o'clock at night. It's actually a bit annoying for sleeping. I haven't got a face mask with me, but I wish I did. I've had to tie a vest off around my head at night to try and get to sleep.
What's the vest of choice? Is it just a random one, or have you got a sore singlet or something?
It's a SaySky one actually.
Is it? I
Yeah,
found
fits lovely
SaySky is
around
a
the head.
better, yeah, SaySky is better for sleeping, apparently. Yeah.
Nice little cotton one. Yeah, blocks the light
Nice.
out. The sore one, yeah, lets too much light in.
Yeah, too thin. I did think that after I said it, actually.
Yeah, but yeah,
Yeah.
great week of training. 160 kilometers, 12 hours of running, 100 meters of 1,000 meters of elevation. Yeah, that's quite a hilly one this week.
Lovely stuff. Well
Good
done, Ben.
stuff.
Very
Thank you
good.
very much.
What's the plan for next week? I know we always go through it at the end, but to tie it in, because I know you've got some races coming up, and someone actually sent a question in about your mileage in relation to the races you're training for. So I think it actually makes more sense for you to answer the listener question now. And basically, the guy just said, let me check his name, Martin. Martin was saying, you're still running high mileage, 100 miles a week. Are you finding this beneficial slash why are you doing it, or are you just in the marathon training cycle slash regime in your head, so you just like to run because you enjoy running? And do you think that your high mileage is impacting any of your sessions or anything? So maybe if you answer that now, it'll be better than at the end, because it'll make
Yeah,
more
no,
sense.
it's a good question. I think just after my marathon training, I've wanted to try and get a bit more base fitness in afterwards. I know that sounds crazy, but I think I did maybe 3 marathons in 6 months. So I had a lot of periods of that where I wasn't training to the level I usually would be at. So I just felt before going into track season, I wanted to do maybe 4 or 5 weeks of more base focused stuff before I then go into lowering the mileage, doing some more speed sessions, and hopefully racing towards the end of July into sort of September time, and do a bit more track focused stuff. So yeah, the training over the next few weeks will definitely change a little bit. Next week I've got a 3K race on Sunday, so it'll probably be a pretty low mileage week for me, around 90 to 100 kilometers, I reckon, to sort of taper into that one, and then a few more weeks of higher mileage, and then into some more track races. But I think, to answer the question, the reason I like to do high mileage training is I just find my body responds to that best. So I find that I'm not really somebody who can smash out maybe 3-4 high intensity workouts and be able to recover and gain fitness from it. I find that if I do a lot more easy running, I just build that aerobic base, which at the end of the day is going to help me towards my longer term goals, which is the marathon, half marathon, 10K races. So as much as I want to get quicker over the 3K and 5K, it's not really a proper focus, if that makes sense. So hence why my training looks a little bit like hybrid, I guess.
Do you think, as a mileage man, as you're just saying, do you see yourself, obviously what I'm thinking is like your ceiling, right? Like how many more miles you can run, how many more miles do you think it will take for you to continue to improve, especially when you've got, you know, I don't know if you saw, you mentioned Sweat Elite, I don't know if you saw the Cam Levins video that went live last week, maybe. There was like a session and then strength and conditioning one. Anyway, I think after he ran 205 at Tokyo, he's sort of been thrusted into the limelight a bit more. But, you know, he's been running 250, 220 odd K a week, like forever, for ages. Do you think that's where you're going? Is that where you would like to get to? Do you think that sort of mileage is where you'll reach your absolute peak? Or do you reckon you'll stick around here?
I think for the time being, I'll probably stick it around the 100-mile mark. I tried 180 kilometres, which is 20 more kilometres than I ran this week, in November time before the Osaka Marathon. And I just found that was a little bit too much. And like Martin said there in his question, I found my sessions just were lacking a little bit in quality. And it just felt a bit more of a slog. But for me, I've run 100-mile weeks. Like, I don't want to sound like cocky, but it almost feels normal to me now, like, to run that sort of volume. That's just what my body likes to do and what I like to do. It might not be the best for my 3K and 5K races. In fact, it probably isn't. But I'm thinking much more longer term towards the marathon here. Yes, I want to get quicker over the short stuff, but it's mainly to make me a faster marathoner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good question, though.
Solid question, Martin. Shall I move on to my week?
Yeah, I think that's enough of me rambling about training, but no, lovely week here in Stockholm.
When are you heading back to the UK?
Heading back tomorrow, so okay. Tuesday.
Tuesday the 6th, for those listening.
Are you feeling sad about that, Ben?
I am indeed, mate. Yeah, I absolutely love it here, yeah. I'd live here in a heartbeat.
Why don't you?
Family. Work. Don't know, really. It's a lot harder now to live here post-Brexit. I can't just... Yeah, basically, we'd have to go through the proper procedure and blah, blah, blah of getting Swedish... Well, not citizenship, but a right to work, basically, which would be a lot of paperwork. I think it takes around 9 to 12 months to approve sometimes. So me being a content creator as well, it wouldn't be the easiest transition, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a headache.
Yeah, but I like going back here. I'm happy in the UK. But yeah, probably will come out a bit more often now that things have sort of died down in terms of pandemics and all that stuff. So yeah, it's nice to come back and do a couple of weeks out here.
Yeah.
And still be able to sort of do my usual work. It's been good.
Sweet. Well, cool. I'll move on to my week. Less exotic. All in the UK, but still a decent week of training. So Monday the 29th of May is when this began, I believe. Is that right?
Is indeed, yeah, 29th?
Yeah.
Eight with Alice.
Yeah, 8 miles in the morning, 8.07 miles at 7:02s. This was a bank holiday, I believe, wasn't it, this Monday? So Alice joined me on the bike, which was lovely. Just nice and easy run in the morning, nothing too crazy. And then in the afternoon, noon. Yes, all the times are wrong on my Strava still. Naturally. Okay.
So, 8:18.
Yeah, so then in the afternoon I did 30 minutes on the bike, just before my gym session. Just because of a few niggles and stuff I've had. Mondays I've dropped out my double for cross training for the last couple of weeks, so I'm just sticking it at that for now. So yeah, that was Monday. Tuesday I had a difficult session on Tuesday. So it was supposed to be 9x400 at a touch quicker than 1500 pace, so kind of a full lactic session and only off 90 seconds rest. But I ended up doing 7 400s, and then the last two reps I had to split into 200, so I did 4x200, simply because on the seventh rep, it genuinely in the home straight, kind of the last 80 to 100 meters, I was like, oh my god, I don't even know if I'm gonna finish the lap. Like, full lactic was like, you know, I was really working and my form was kind of going, so I was like, right, I know I need to push through and still get the volume of the session in. And like, there's a point to this session. I need to make sure I do it. And it's supposed to be hurting. This isn't like it's uncomfortable, but it's not going to pose injury or I'm not going to die or anything. It's just horrible lactic. So how can I get through it? And I switched it into 200s, which in the end, I was pleased I did it at the end because I still felt a good sense of accomplishment. And the first seven were really good. I think I did kind of 58. It was a pretty windy day. I think I did 58 or something like that for the seven off 90 seconds. Which in the conditions I was really pleased with, because I was supposed to run about 57 and a half, something like that. And then, yeah, the 200.
That is rapid.
That is dirty, isn't it, really? I'm looking at your splits now, and yeah, 58, 58, 58, 59, 58. Bloody hell.
Yeah, it was pretty difficult. And I think that seventh rep was like a 62 or a 61 high or something. So that shows, like, I know we always say 3 seconds is not that much, but it's like 12 seconds per mile difference if you work that out, you know, 3 seconds a lap. So it is like, yeah, a serious drop off. Mm. But yeah, that's good. And it was one of those sessions where I left and I was like, I know my body's going to get a really good adaptation from that. And because I've been mainly strength focused, I've not really done anything pure lactic since when I was getting ready for World Cross back in February, when I knew I was going to do the 3K or the 2K, whatever it was. So yeah, that was a good one to get out of the way, to be honest. And I know that in a race, I'll be able to access that and kind of be like, right, come on, you've had this feeling before in training. So yeah, that was a good session Tuesday.
Do you, quickly on that, do you have, might sound like a silly question, but in your head, when you've got 9400 set at that sort of pace, do you have a contingency in your head already? Like, are you thinking before the session, if this gets too hard and I start falling to pieces, I'll split it up into 4x200?
No, I'd not actually considered it, not for any other reason other than I was like, if the 400's slow, that's fine. So if, for example, let's say that 7400, I've done it in 61, but let's say it didn't feel awful or my form was still fine, it was just getting a bit hard, I would have just pumped out the next two, and if they were 60 or 61, that's fine. Feedback to my coach and we go, okay, I can handle lactic up to this point or whatever. And you still reflect and go, I only need to run 1500. So that's like three and a bit of these reps and I'm doing nine reps. So I'm going on almost, you know, triple the distance kind of at quicker than the pace, so yeah, it would still be good. It was the nature at which I ran the seventh rep where I was like, okay, this is beyond it just being hard and me being a bit of a wuss. It's more me being like, actually, that was like not good, like
physiological limit,
like,
is reached.
Yeah, just like biomechanically that looked awful and like felt equally as awful, so I should probably take a bit of a longer rest after the seventh and do 200s instead. But yeah, that was still a good session.
Before you move on, Cal, I think your mic might be a tiny bit close to your mouth.
Oh, sorry.
But other than that, carry on.
Is that any better?
Yeah, I think that's better. It's peaking a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I've leaned forward into my laptop. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Oh, I had a bit of a modified cool down as well for that session. After a lot of the lactic stuff, I tend to have a bit more of a moderate cool down. So this is either kind of like 5 minutes easy, 10 minutes moderate, 5 minutes easy, or sometimes I do it as 1 mile easy, 1 mile moderate, 1 mile easy. And that moderate section is just to kind of flush the legs out a little bit and get them to feel a little bit better the next day. Some people even do strides afterwards sometimes, or you'll see pro runners doing strides after their races to flush out the lactic a little bit. If, say, they're in Europe and they're going to race Wednesday, Friday, Wednesday or something like that.
I've heard that before. I've never quite understood it.
Yeah. So I just do moderate, which, depending on how I'm feeling, is kind of between 550 and 620 per mile. It depends how battered I am, to be honest.
Do you think that's almost a psychological thing as well?
No, I don't think it is a psychological thing. I think, well, maybe for some people, maybe if you doing your moderate on your cool down and you're feeling fine, you might take some confidence and be like, wow, I can still run 6 minute mining after that session. But no, I do think it's a physiological thing of you're pumping the blood around your body quicker and you're pumping more of it around, so you're clearing more lactic. I think that's the kind of like very elementary science behind it, but I'm sure someone knows the actual correct reason.
Yeah.
How disgusting does that feel, Callum, on a scale?
Terrible. Like, you're watching that in the first 5 minutes or on the easy mile, I'm looking at it and I'm like, please, can this just go on for longer? Because I don't want to have to start the moderate. And then you start the moderate and you're doing like 6:40 and you're like, right, come on, I really need to like... And once you get up to speed, it's fine, but it's like getting your legs moving to start with. Yeah. But yeah, it's not the end of the world. And I know it does help me because I did them last season and it does help. So yeah, got it done. So that was Tuesday night. Wednesday, I just had a single. I had 8.61 miles. I believe I had, 8.61 miles at 6:47. So just short of an hour of running. Literally nothing to report on that, apart from that I did a new route. And it was pretty boring new route, to be honest. I don't really know why I did it, but that's that. Thursday, I had a double. So I did 7.95 miles in the morning at 6:50s. And yeah, felt pretty good. Again, these 8 mile runs / an hour run are just my standard kind of default thing. And then in the evening, I did a 4 mile double at 6:53s, just out to the local grass loop and back. And that was good because that was the first time I felt up to doing a double and both runs have felt good. The kind of afternoon run has felt a little bit like, ooh, I'm a bit stiff from the morning run. My kind of, it's a weird pain to describe that I've had with my nerve. It's just made my leg feel a little bit like it's got no power. But this one I actually felt like I could have done way longer than 4 miles in the evening. So yeah, that was a positive day on Thursday to start feeling, you know, back to everything clicking back to normal, which is great. On to Friday, which was another session, and this one was bloody tough as well. Actually, I know I always complain about the weather, but it was really windy on this day. I did a very weird session. So basically, I had 3x300 with 100 meters jog in about 40 to 45 seconds. I think it averages about 45 seconds for the rest. So 3x300, and then three minutes after the set, then another 3x300 in the exact same fashion. Then I had a 3 mile tempo at about, I think the average was 5:18, but the effort level, because of the way we did it in the wind, was probably more towards 5:10. So a tempo for 3 miles. And then I had a final set of 3x300. So I've done all the 300s at 43 to 45, which again, in the wind was probably, you know, maybe take a second off each of them or something. So, you know, 1500 pace basically, off short recoveries. And then, you know, a pretty solid tempo in the middle. Don't ask me exactly why, to be honest, in terms of why the tempo is sandwiched in the middle. I'm not too sure. I think, again, it's just to flush out a little bit of the lactic, but also accumulate some fatigue from the early sets of the 300s. So then the last set of the 300 was supposed to be faster than what I did it at. It was supposed to all be in 42 pretty much, and spiked up for that last set. So I think that's why it was supposed to be to run 1500 pace on really tired legs, essentially. But yeah, that was a good session. James Teagle, who's a professional triathlete and a really good one at that, who's based in Cambridge, joined me for the tempo, which was excellent. He jumped straight off his bike from a session and did it with me, and he dragged me around, so that was great. But yeah, it was a really solid session, actually. I was pleased with that one.
Is there a reason you did it in the afternoon, out of interest?
Yes, there was actually, and a really mundane reason. My physio, Emma, she's actually going on a holiday for 2 weeks as of this week of record, as of now when we're recording it. So the only way that I could fit in my physio for this week based on when she works and stuff was to get it on Friday morning. So that meant that I had to do my session in the afternoon, whereas normally I would have done it in the morning. So that was reason number one. And then reason number two was James needed to do his bike session. The guy did like a 1 hour tempo bike session or something before he came to the track to do another session. So it worked out a convenient time for him as well. That's pretty much why.
Yeah, fair enough. Is your physio going anywhere nice on holiday?
She's going to, well, I guess I can disclose it. No one's going to go and like stalk her, are they? She's going to Disneyland in Orlando.
Oh, nice. Have a great time, Emma.
So if any listeners are there, then give her a wave. Yeah, that was Friday. Normal cool down, which was much appreciated. Saturday morning, on Friday night, I went back to Alice's family home in Abbots Langley, Watford area, because we're
having Three Rivers,
having a bit of a family barbecue type summer weekend. So I just did 40 minutes easy on Saturday morning, 5.83 miles at 6:50s. This is a nice place to run around. It's like some fishing lakes and like they do water sports and stuff there, but it's just so busy. Like I get grumpy when there's so many dog walkers that think dogs that own the roads, and like kids are really cute until they're cycling into your ankles and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, that was a decent run Saturday. And then
go ahead. I've just seen there's a little place called Money Hill. And you ran past a Wimpy en route. Now, I've not heard of Wimpy for a long time.
What's Wimpy?
Wimpy? You've never been to Wimpy?
Burger joint.
What?
Yeah.
Let me look this up.
Proper service station type mush food.
Do they have this up north?
Burger and chips. Yeah, Wimpy. I think Wimpy's a proper northern thing.
What?
I must admit, I don't think I've ever been to a Wimpy either.
It looks American.
Never been to a Wimpy?
Don't think so.
Jesus Christ. Do have it up north. Oh,
listeners.
This is an old person thing, definitely. I've not heard of this. It's like Five Guys, but like 1970.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now. It's a shambolic gaff. If you've ever eaten in this place and you're over the age of 12, have a look at yourself, I'd say.
Ah, interesting though. South African. Wimpy. Anyway, well, I did not see that when I went past, but next time I'll definitely have a look in, poke my head in, see if they've got any lunchtime specials on.
Wimpy Wednesdays, apparently. Burger, chips and a drink for £7.50. How about that?
There we go. Bargain. Yeah. Well, I did have some burgers, actually, later that day. Not from Wimpy, but we had a nice barbecue, which was delicious. And then Sunday I got up and did a long run, 13.82 miles at 6:40s, so about an hour and a half. Just along the canal, kind of usual route I do when we're in this area. And that topped off a good week. 67 miles, I think I did. I don't know why my Strava's saying 75, because I definitely didn't do 75.
121K.
Yeah, I did 67 miles, I believe, which is good. I've progressed the last few weeks as my volume has been able to kind of get back to that kind of nice level where I have it. And I've realized I've like just not really had or needed a day off since that time I got ill a while ago, which I think was the start of May. So yeah, it's good. I'm feeling a lot better, feeling a lot more confident, done some good sessions. As of recording, I've got a really, really big slash tough session tomorrow, which will be kind of a good confidence booster, hopefully, if it all goes well. And then into racing at the weekend. So yeah, things are very much on the up with me. And it's just nice not to have like a constant niggle because it was getting a little bit frustrating.
Mm. Are you racing on the Saturday or the Sunday?
I'm racing Saturday the 10th.
So you're doing your session on Tuesday, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, easy.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, easy. Yeah. And then racing, racing Saturday. Yeah, Saturday evening. And then I've actually got no races confirmed after that. So that's what I've been trying to sort out the last few days. Hopefully I can try and get entered in something good. But yeah, so if anyone knows of any decent races, or if you are a accomplished middle distance runner that is a listener and fancies running something fast somewhere, do get in contact with me.
Listen, Callum, it might not be exactly what you're after, but might have a beer mile for you to get your teeth stuck into at some point soon.
Oh, just what I wanted. Does that go on my power of 10?
I don't know how official it will be, but no, we're working on might potentially have a little beer mile event going on in July.
I think you're speaking to the wrong bloke, mate.
Where's that at?
It's looking like it'll be at Battersea.
All right, no, genuinely keep me in the loop for it.
100%. Yeah,
I'll definitely attend if I don't race, but I'd be quite keen.
There's no chance you're doing that, mate.
Is it 330 mil cans or is it 500 mil?
It's cans, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, the 330.
It will be alcohol free.
Oh, is it sponsored by someone?
It will be.
Oh, I'll message you privately actually, because you'll find out when I message the group chat. But count me in. I might be interested.
All right, interesting. The other thought I had: should we start a Strava run club thing for the podcast? It might give us something a little bit extra to talk about. See who's doing what.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? We could do the listener shout out, could be who ran the furthest or who did the best session or who did the worst session or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, or we can do like a, rather than do that sort of thing, because I think some other podcasts do it, we could do like a community post where we ask a question or ask people to submit something or whatever. Or we do like a theme for the week. They got to submit a photo or like some sort of interactive element.
What? Yeah, like best photo posted on Strava or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
I think it's a good idea, mate.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, good weeks of training that. Should we jump in some news?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, what I'll do is we'll save the Diamond League because I think we all got our thoughts on that slash actually some good talking points, and I'll fly through some of the lesser results that I put on there just because I'm interested and other people might not really care. So it was the European 10,000 meter cup. Yemen Kripa from Italy won in 28.08. It was really windy and he basically just kind of jogged it in and got a good win. The reason for that is shout out because Jack Gray from my training group ran and finished 12th in 28.38. And Tom George was the best performing Brit, who finished 7th in 28.23. So yeah,
good running from those guys.
Well done to the people at the 10,000 meter cup.
You say Kripa jogged it in. I wouldn't quite say he jogged it in.
Okay, well he had to sprint the final.
It was a pretty good burn up.
He had to sprint the final 100 meters, but the guys run like 27.20 or something like that. So
yeah, yeah.
He ran a minute slower than his time almost.
But his last lap was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's a good one to watch.
He went to the front. They did the first K in like close to 3 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And then
he
they were running
stretched.
Like 2:54s, so he was just jogging.
Well, yeah, and then the final K was 2:34, I think, which I know sounds like ridiculously fast, but like you know, as we'll come on to in the Diamond League, if
not
you can't
quite a 2:25.
Yeah, if you can't close in 2:25, I know it was 10,000, not 5K, but yeah, that was Euro 10K Cup. There was the Portland Track Festival, which had a really good 1500, but not with any Brits in it. So we'll just gloss over that one, to be honest. But Josh Kerr did win the 800 in 1:46, which is good to see him racing. And I think he said in an interview he's racing at Oslo Diamond League, which will be pretty stacked. So it'll be good to see how he fares against the Gawleys, Ollie Hawes, etc. Of the world. So that was Portland Track Festival. And then the final two things to mention. One, it was the Bank of America Chicago 13.1, which I don't know why he's not called the Chicago Half Marathon, but apparently it's a different thing. Tim Manelit, Reed Fisher won that in 63 minutes, and they got first and second, I believe. And then Diane Nakuri won the women's race in 75 minutes. So final bit of kind of, not final bit, but a bit of road racing in the summer. Always nice to add in there. And then the FBK Games in Hengelo. Don't know what FBK stands for. But Sifan Hassan won the 10.
Oh, yeah.
She won the 10K on Friday night on Saturday night, in 29:37, which is a world lead.
11th fastest of all time, something stupid.
Yeah,
like that.
Or 12, something like that. Yeah, she's already like the second or third fastest, isn't she? But she's like slapped herself back on the list in the top 20, and then she came back the next day and won the 1500 in 3:58. So yeah, just absolutely nuts stuff from her, to be honest. Yeah, pretty bonkers. But the main event was the Florence Diamond League. So, lads, I know you're both heavily invested in it. Talk to me.
Good evening of watching. I had to listen to it in Swedish because I couldn't get the British live stream up. So that was good. Practice my Swedish. But Faith Kipyegon was probably the most dominant showing. Well, definitely the most dominant. She ran a world record. Let me just turn my notifications off. Of 3:49, which was an incredible run from her. I think she was like 7 seconds in the rest of the field, and in second was Laura Muir, closely followed by Jess Hull, She ran an Australian record. It's such a good race. I can't even get my words out. But
special,
the men's 5K was a pretty good one as well.
Yeah, she ran an area record, I think. So I think in Australia they always do that weird thing, don't they? Where like they group all those Oceania countries together. So she, it was good.
She's not
it was
just
good.
The Queen of Australia.
I enjoyed it, but it was Jess Hull. Bloody hell, I can't speak either. Jess
glad
Hull,
I'm not the only one.
The way she stuck on to Kipyegon and Muir for basically as long as she possibly could. I think that was brave racing. They were so far ahead of the pack behind, weren't they, the whole race?
I mean, they both got pretty well rewarded for it.
Yeah,
some rapid times at this point in the season. So
I don't know if the stream, Ben, that you had was the same one, but I obviously knew Diamond League was going on, but I had summer for the weekend, So I couldn't watch it live, but I was just seeing stuff popping off all over Instagram. And then she fell asleep just in time for me to like to watch the men's 5000, which was beautiful. But the stream itself was sensational. They got like a little like the side camera view, and it looked like, I don't know, just like the quality of it was amazing. Like, it was really good to watch, I thought. Yeah, Callum, did you watch it?
Yep, I watched bits and bobs of it. I didn't sit there. I wasn't glued to it. But yeah, I mean, Diamond League is, it's difficult because it is good. It's really good. And when you're watching the Diamond League and the way they've structured it and stuff, it looks great from an outsider's perspective. But when I think to myself, that's the equivalent of the Premier League, because that's like the football Premier League I'm comparing it to is like their premier top quality, like the best thing that you can watch in the world, pretty much. All the best football players are there. And you look at the quality of it, the analysis, the way they have punditry set up, all that kind of thing. And then you compare it to athletics and be like, oh, like, how are we so far behind in like the type of things that, you know, why do we not have pundits on there, like drawing lines on the screen for like the way someone's done a certain technique, or like drawing the gap behind and being like, look how far this person was, 36 meters behind, but they closed the gap, which means they're running at this speed. And like, I think they could be so much more creative with it. But that being said, a fantastic race. And even though the pros are hating the fact that they can't get into any Diamond Leagues and it seems like really difficult to get in this year, the quality of the fields as a result have been absolutely insane. So, I mean, we're going to talk about the men's 5,000 now, but in the women's 1500, I don't know if you guys saw the images of them all hugging each other at the end and kind of
beautiful,
like,
wasn't it?
Everyone feeling like they were really part of history, because 3:49 for a female in 1500 meters is nuts. Like, you know, she's going to a lot of races in the UK and winning, you know, she'll go to all of the kind of, when you see Ben's vlogs of like the National Athletics League and the Southern Athletics League, like she'll turn up and beat like any bloke that turns up to run them, you know. It's pretty nuts time, you know.
I think as well, it was like you say, it was beautiful to see everyone come together. I think the closest thing I can remember to that was the Kipchoge Ineos 159 thing, when they're all chucking him in the air afterwards and celebrating him. Like, normally, right, you don't necessarily see that same camaraderie, right? But that was, it was lovely to watch, like all the pictures at the end, them all of the women huddled round holding the world record check plaque thing together. It was nice, wasn't it? Very nice.
Indeed. Very wholesome.
Very wholesome.
Go on then. Who wants to talk us through the 5K? The boost of a race.
Sensational, wasn't it? Before, obviously, Mokotir won, right? 12:52, 13 men, sub 13. Deepest 5K race of all time. You know, you got the likes of Cheptegei in there, right? Who, obviously, world record holder, 5K, 10K, being left for dust on that last lap. And what was the time of that last lap? What did they run for the last 400?
I can't remember now, but it was flat out, wasn't it? 54?
54, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah, outrageous.
Maybe 55, I can't remember. Yeah, it was a rapid race. I mean, there were so many different storylines to the race, which, again, I think that's always a great sign when you're not just looking at who's winning, but you can look back over the top 10 and kind of be like, oh, this person broke this record, or this person beat this person. So even having like Woody Kincaid just beating Joe Klecker, you think, okay, that rolls into the US champs and they're kind of the top two contenders over the 10K. How's that going to go down? And, you know, I thought it was a great race. And when you see the hype that is built around it on Instagram or on social media in general, from people being like, whoa, 12:52, that's crazy, 12:55, or this person might beat Jakob, and it sparks a lot of talking points compared to other races where people might run still an amazing time, but there's something about there being 10 or whatever it was, 13 people running that quick that really just like makes it stand out. And to be honest, all of those people will likely end up in the world final in August. So then you'll add to it some of the other best runners from around the world, and, you know, hopefully they'll do a similar style of racing. Hopefully it won't just be, you know, a sit and kick job.
Joe Klecker, handsome devil, by the way. He got caught up in that fall towards the end, didn't he? And still came home sub 13. So that was...
Got a feel for the Swedish guy that fell. He was going to break 13 minutes for the first time, I think. And he fell in the last on the last lap, didn't he? So
yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Heartbreak.
It was pretty devastating.
My favourite thing about all of this, right? I don't know. Obviously, Mokatir has posted some astonishing results over the last couple of years or so. Coming from relative obscurity, there's always the accusations, right, about whether he's doping and so on. Did you see, this was on a Let's Run thread, and someone posted a screenshot of his Instagram page from the post after the race, and someone commented saying, there's no way Katir is clean. And he replied, this is obviously a translation, right? Where he said, what hurts, friend? While you criticize me that this is normal, it is the nature of men when there is another man better than him that they envy him. Ask your wife if Katir is handsome or not. Surely your wife would be delighted to be with a winner, not a loser.
He wrote that.
Yeah.
What a legend.
I think that was one of the best things I've ever seen.
If he's clean, yeah.
Even if he's not, it's still tremendous content. Ask
but that's
your
like
wife.
When Asbel Kiprop, I think it was Asbel Kiprop that got banned. And have you seen that tweet of when he's the day that he gets unbanned? What he tweets, he's like, "Hey everyone, I'm back." I'll try and find it. I'll try and find it. Put it on Instagram. But yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, Katir is major red flags for me. Like, I really like fair play what he's doing. It's class, but like, it is weird how good he's got.
Go and ask Alice if she finds him attractive.
Yeah, ask your wife. But no, I love that sort of chat anyway. But yeah, I would normally not recommend anybody go anywhere near Let's Run. But there's some fantastic stuff on there, especially after something big happens like this. So yeah, amazing. Amazing comment.
Any other race results to mention there? Or should we move on to some listeners' questions?
Obviously, it goes without saying there is loads of other events that actually do happen. We don't cover them all. There was a probably amazing field events, but I don't have a clue how they work. I just watch in amazement. And the distances and stuff mean nothing to me, to be honest. So yeah, sorry to all the, if there is anyone that enjoys those things, sorry we've not covered them.
Fair point. All right then, some listeners' questions. First up, we have got Ollie, and he says, do you guys ever train running for training effect?
I think that's running. Trail running?
Yes, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
I believe Anonymous Skunk has just changed it.
Yeah, cheers, Anonymous Skunk. All right, here we go. Do you guys ever do trail running for training effect? Do you think you'll ever switch to trail running later in life?
Do you know what I think's mad?
Radio silence.
Trail running's associated with being old. Why is that?
Yeah, it's weird, eh?
Everyone says, will you ever move to trails or do that? You never seen a trail runner be asked if they're going to move to the track.
That is true. Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's just associated with not being fast and with being like plodding
more
around
endurance stuff.
Like plodding around the countryside. Whereas if you actually watch these people that do trail running, it's actually... No, but that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think us road runners are misinformed on what it is. You think it's people that just go to like I'm going to do the tough old race, and it's like 10 miles in the countryside, yeah. And you stop for a Pepsi Max halfway and stuff like that. Whereas when you actually watch real trail running, it's either like absolutely ridiculously steep climbs and descents that literally you look like would kill you, or the distances and the conditions they do it in are like seriously
extreme.
Testing. Yeah. But again, it's if you're in that world, you probably know that. But if you're just someone like me that does 5Ks, 10Ks, and you're on the road and you're on the track, then you do view trail running as a bit of a weekend hobby activity.
It is very true. It's very, very true. Like, we've probably spoken about it. And when people, you know, people ask if I'm ever going to do an ultra or something, it's like, not anytime soon. Because I see it as like, yeah, when I'm in my late 40s, when I'm in my 50s, and I just want to have like a cool experience with running where I'm not fussed about running fast anymore, I'll do like a 100-miler for fun. But like you say, that's doing it as a hobby. That's not trail running the way that people who are winning UTMB are trail running, right? So yeah, interesting. Anyway,
good question. I don't think
that question. I don't know if I would.
No, I'm not ready for that either.
Well, I guess I do to an extent, if you count the grass. So I guess the kind of, you know, do you ever guys do trail running for a training effect? I mean,
Yes.
I guess a training effect is lower impact. So maybe that. Do I enjoy running on trails? Yes, the ones close to my house. I love going on them compared to the road. When I'm doing it, I'm not thinking, oh, wow, like I'm doing this for a particular benefit apart from lower impact. And do I think I'll switch to trail? I don't think I'd ever make a definitive switch to go and do it. But I would love to do some different kind of trail races and challenges and things like that. I love the outdoors. So, yeah, maybe. Mm.
I did a few proper trail runs like early in the London Marathon build up with Chris. Like we found a couple of routes with like savage hills, but totally off road. And I did enjoy it, but it's a totally different experience. Like the lactate when you feel when you're running up like a almost vertical hill on loose ground underfoot and there's tree stumps to navigate and stuff. Like it is pretty good fun, but you have to accept sometimes that you have to walk. And that's, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. It makes me, it's quite emasculating sometimes, proper trail running, I find, when you're not used to it. And the other trail run that we went on, I like slipped on some loose leaves and whacked my head on a tree stump. So I didn't enjoy that. I was a bit concussed after that, to be honest. I probably should have gone to hospital or something. My ears were ringing and I couldn't really see straight for a day or so after. But yeah, that's my experience of trail running. So it's good fun, but it batters your legs as well when you're not used to it. Like I was in pieces, like quads, not quads, hammies, glutes, the whole shebang. So yeah, so my hat's off to people who trail run properly.
Yeah, I've done a few trail races in the past and I've not enjoyed one yet. Mm. I like training on the trails, like just going for an easy run, but trying to run fast on them isn't my cup of tea at the moment. Maybe it will be in later life, I don't know.
Mm.
Class.
Next question is a good one. This comes in from Paddy the Baddy. And he said,
"Not just for the record, for legal purposes, it's not the Paddy Baddy you're thinking of."
For legal purposes.
Anyway, Paddy has asked who we think the first YouTuber to break 220 for the marathon is going to be, out of Ben, our very own Ben Felton. Ben is running. Nick Bester, Boom Shakalaka Bester, or Matt Fox, or someone else.
I reckon Ben.
I reckon Ben
only because I think he's capable. But what I mean is we get to listen to Ben's training, whereas I've got no idea what training the others do. So for all I know, they're in crazy shape. And the other reason is I'm hoping that through these conversations we convince Ben to actually just try and break 220 and go off at that pace. Whereas I think the others have got their eyes on like jumping straight to 216, 218, that kind of thing. And that's a far more risky strategy. Whereas I feel like Ben could just go do a nice little 219.45, tick the box and not be, doing anything crazy straight away. That's my philosophy.
I
think that's a good point. I think Nick's got the best bet at getting it next, though. He's doing Berlin, isn't he, in September time?
Yeah, and he's ready, and he wants to run 218.
Oh, really?
Didn't he run 220.01 last year at Berlin? Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah. Maybe not 1 second, but 10 seconds or something.
He put on Instagram his goal marathon pace of him running on a treadmill. And I looked at the kilometer pace and saw what it was for a marathon. And it was 218. So maybe he got his maths wrong if he wants to just, who knows?
Mm. 220.08 is what he ran officially, according to Power of 10 in Berlin. Wow. God, that's got a sting, hasn't it?
I reckon. Yeah. Give me another two marathons. And I'll be under that 220
barrier.
Oh,
I've just thought. Sorry, I really miss. I forgot something. If he wears the speed suit, he'll probably run 215. Because that's a good couple of seconds a mile, I reckon.
Yeah, and the sweatband.
Yeah, so it could be. But yeah, who knows? It's interesting. I wonder how many of our listeners are engaged with the running YouTuber scene, and if so, let us know if we've missed anyone who's obvious, because if you count people like Charles Hicks as a YouTuber, which I guess he is, I mean, he's probably the fastest YouTuber on the internet. Yeah.
You got Stephen Scullion, who's a definite YouTuber these days.
He's a YouTuber. Yeah. Can he break 220? I'm not sure. I'm just kidding. Just a joke. Yeah. Good question, Paddy. But yeah, I'm going to say Ben is running. breaks 220.
Seville Marathon, February next year.
Does someone do it before him? Probably. Does it really matter? No. And Ben's video will get more views anyway.
And that's all that matters.
Maybe.
Love it.
Well, maybe Shana, I'll do it.
Chuck his
name.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Matt
you
Reece.
Can't count out Matt Rees. You can't count out Matt Rees.
He's run 224 something, hasn't he? Ben, his PB might be very similar to yours, actually. What did you run exactly in Boston?
Can't remember.
But Ben's was on a mountain running course, pretty much.
Exactly. I'm on the trails.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right.
It's good. You should all do it together. Surely that's prime content, isn't it? I know. Obviously, there's been the whole feud, so we're not going to see Bester and Matt Fox together and stuff. But let's say there was three or four of you guys that were all ladies that were around 220, all doing it together. Would that not just be world class content? Oh, all your videographers doing it, little drone jobby, you know, like that. I think that would be so good. You all doing it together.
Just around. Can you imagine
all of them? All of their little, all of the videographers running alongside the course. If you've got
Ben,
like,
you
Matt
should do
Fox,
Ben do
Bester.
Berlin. Ben,
do Berlin.
Berlin. Do it with Bester. You already did a video together. You two run together and then just out kick him in the final 50 and boom shakalaka the finish line.
Dye my hair blue.
That would be no. Dye the mustache blue.
Yeah, that would be the power move.
The mustache blue.
Yeah. Paddy, what a question, mate. What a question. Yeah.
Good
right,
question, Paddy.
Anonymous Narwhal, can you delete that question? We're on to the next one now.
Yeah, no problem.
What am I on this? What am I on the show notes?
I don't know. One of you is Anonymous Narwhal and one of you is Anonymous Skunk and I'm just called Calamars.
I'm the Narwhal.
All right, I'm the Skunk.
Narwhal.
Okay, nice, yeah. Nice. Can we do a more serious training question for the next one?
All right, take your pick, Callum. You go for it.
I think I'd like to go for Jax, who says, how do you plan out your racing? He usually just picks out one race and then trains for whatever it is, 12 to 16 weeks. But he wants to start racing more often, such as doing more 5Ks, but he's not sure how to build them in. So, lads, how do you plan out your racing from a running point of view if you take out the kind of content and work things that you need to do?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, really, because you kind of answered it there for me. It does sort of rotate around the content side of things for me. So, obviously, big marathons will... I'll do them when they come up. But at the moment, I'm doing a track season. So I'm trying to do a good maybe 4 to 6 weeks of training. And then I'm going to do sort of a quick succession of races, maybe one every 3 weeks, and see if I can sort of get some race fitness. I know, Callum, you do something similar with your sort of track season. And I would say for Jack, training for 12 to 16 weeks is great. And it's good that you can find the motivation to put everything, go all in for one distance. But it does mean if it doesn't go to plan on race day, then you're a little bit buggered. So for Boston Marathon, for example, I did a 5K race as a sort of B-goal race in the lead up and got cheeky 5K PB as sort of like an added bonus of all the training I've been doing. So I definitely feel like racing more often is a good thing, and it can teach you and give you a real sort of clear picture of where your fitness is at. So I personally, like, when I do start racing, I like to race probably once every 3 weeks, especially for the short stuff. But if you're training for a marathon, then yeah, one or two per year.
Yeah, amen to that. I'm in the same boat as you, Jack. Like, especially before, I put so much emphasis on one race, and exactly what Ben just said obviously happened to me with London, where you put together 14 of the best weeks of training you'll ever do in your life, and then it all goes to shit on the actual day itself, and you're left there thinking, like you know, you're questioning everything after that. Whereas I think if I'd enjoyed the process a little bit more, and I did a few races in the build-up, but they were like, you know, progression runs ending at marathon pace or with blocks at marathon pace or whatever. It wasn't like lining up on the start line to give it a good effort. So yeah, I think for me, it's similar to you, Ben, in the sense that just through work, opportunities to enter races will come up. And I'll message Andy, Coach Andy, and say, look, I can do the Hoka winter run 10K on such and such a date. Do you think that works? And he'll either say yes or no, and then take it from there. But once I'm back, I'm desperate to race more and not even really worry about the times that much, especially when I first get back. I'm not expecting to blow the doors off straight away, so I'd quite like to do,
you know, just jump into some local 5Ks, like 5K series around, you know, there's quite a few of them around here where you can just hop in and give it a good effort and see what you made.
Win them and win them all.
Because that's the most important part always. But
exactly.
But
local 10 milers, smash them out. See you later.
I think have a little look around. Go on like Run Britain or those sorts of sites and just give yourself maybe like 6 weeks or 4 weeks to do some 5K specific training, some shorter, sharper stuff, and then jump in a 5K and have a good effort. And if you enjoyed it, maybe do a 10K instead. Like, don't put too much emphasis on like one big, specific, massive goal.
Solid.
Anything to add, Cal?
No, you guys went into plenty of detail. So no, I thought that was, very comprehensive.
Okay, lovely stuff. One less serious question from Dan. He says, do you guys drink any sugar-free beverages? Interesting question, Dan. If so, what is your go-to sugar-free beverage?
Interesting that he says sugar-free.
So first of all, the first part of the question, do you drink sugar-free beverages? Yes.
Yeah. Alongside sugar beverages is my answer. I don't just drink sugar-free,
So what is the best sugar-free beverage on the market today?
Pints. Beer.
That's not sugar-free.
I Googled this before. Yeah, it is. I Googled it. Callum said at the start of the episode, like before we went on air, before we started recording, give this one some thought, right, for when we ask it later in the episode. So I did give it some thought and I Googled, does beer
have sugar in it?
Sugar. 0 grams. Zero grams of sugar. Is there a lot of sugar in beer? While the sugar content in beer is zero, other alcoholic drinks can contain a lot of sugar. So it's beer.
Yeah, but that's not the best. That's not the best go-to. In a running context, a pint's not the best. I know everyone's like, oh, I love a pint. Oh, I run so I could have 10 pints at the end. You're telling me I've never, ever once felt like when I finish a race being like, oh, I'd love a pint now. Like, yeah, once the dust settles and you think, oh, yeah, I can't wait to have some drinks tonight or this is going to be good or the atmosphere, you know, it'll be nice to have a beer. But like in terms of, I took this question as like, what refreshes you once you're finished, you know? Or like, what do you enjoy? Not just like your daily life.
Yeah, fair enough. In that case, I would say Tenzing is pretty good. If you boys try that, it's not technically sugar-free.
Never had it. I'm not on the list of influencers that gets 50 boxes dropped off at the house, I'm afraid, so I've not had it.
No, I haven't tried it.
It's only per 100 mil, there's 4.5 grams of carbs, of which sugar. So yeah, 4.5 grams of sugar per 100 mil, which ain't bad, is it really?
Oh, so that's a sugar beverage, is it? Not sugar-free.
Yeah, but 4 and a bit grams. Is that a lot?
It's not the question, mate. It says it has to be sugar-free. Oh, I'm just going to go with a classic. Coke Zero.
Oh, interesting that you said that. I was going to say Aldi's own ZX Cola Cherry.
Right, with that, let's move on to the next question.
No. I actually, like a classic heavy sugar Coca-Cola is my favorite drink for after a session.
It has to be full fat Coke.
If you're really, or if you're hungover or whatever, there's just something about that full fat Coke that's just lovely. But if I had to have a sugar-free alternative, yeah, I'd go for some kind of Coke or Cola, whatever. The only reason I said that is because tonight with my prawn tacos, I did have a little a cola, and we'd just been to Aldi, and we always get the cherry zero sugar, and I had to get it out of the fridge to double check that it is a cola ZX. So there you go. If anyone's out there from Aldi, drop some off at my house.
Right. Any other questions this week, boys?
No, but I do have a serious listener shout out to give.
Go on then.
Two really good ones. So firstly is an apology to the people who messaged in with some actual really good listener shout outs. Like, there was some people with some really good achievements and I just failed to write them down. So next episode we'll do that. But I actually did say on our Instagram page, I don't know if you saw, boys, that anyone that recommended the podcast to their mum and could send us evidence that they'd done that would get a shout out.
We've had
two fantastic listeners that have done it. So the first one is going to be Will Annabelle or Annabelle. I don't know. William, basically. Will He has sent it to his mum. He sent the Jakob Ingebrigtsen podcast. So Jakob Ingebrigtsen dominates Stanley. And he's put, mum, 10 out of 10, would recommend. And his mum's replied, is this for me to listen? So maybe not so good. However, and the second shout out is for the running class teacher who has sent it to his mum.
Mr. Charlie.
And legend said, of the podcast, by the way.
He is, interestingly, he sent the Tom Goes to Germany, Ben Races a 10 miler, and Callum Craves, whatever it was, episode.
Good choice.
And yeah, he's put, you'll love this podcast, mum. They talk about running, and I even get a shout out. And she says, really? I'll listen to it tomorrow. Kiss. He says, message me if you need anything explained, or just find the podcast on Instagram and DM them. What's a DM? His mum says. And she says, I'm glad you asked what a DM was and not what a kilometer was. It means direct message, kiss. And he sent that over to me. And I thought, that is just absolutely outstanding. So maybe we'll do some challenges like that more often. But I tell you what, thank you to our loyal audience. I knew there's a reason I sit here and just chat a load of rubbish. And it's moments like that make it all worth it.
Exactly.
What a lovely note to end it on, eh?
I know. Yeah, what are you up to next week, boys?
Uh-huh. I've got a race on Sunday, which I alluded to, an NAL, National Athletics League 3K. Probably my least favourite distance to race, actually. But anyway, I'm going to give it a good crack, see how we get on.
Nice. What's your plan? Are you just trying to run fast or win, or what's the vibe?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a quick one. I reckon there's going to be some guys running around 8:15, 8:20, so it'll just be hang on for dear life and see if I can get pulled around to a quick time.
Nice, good stuff. Thomas?
Nothing really of note, I don't think. I'm going to, hopefully get some routine back in my life with the gym. So I'm looking forward to that.
Get those bicep curls in.
Yeah, so next episode I'll be huge. And I'll be, hopefully, I'll have structure and routine back in my life again, which is going to be lovely.
I'm not sure what the app's called, Tom, but I think this would be good for you and good content for the pod. There's an app out there, people message us in what it's called, where basically you put in what you've done at the gym and it tells you the equivalent of what you've lifted in animal terms. So it'll say like, oh, today you lifted 12,000 tortoises or whatever it is. It adds up the kilograms and then gives you. So I think that would be good to find out next week how many, of different animals you managed to lift in the week.
I don't think I'm going to be doing too brilliantly to begin with. I might lift about 6.5 blue tits or something to start with.
But even if you're lifting, if you're benching one kangaroo, that's still pretty impressive. Yeah.
I don't think I'm benching a kangaroo. Do you know how heavy kangaroos are? Are we talking a joey or are we talking a fully fledged male kangaroo?
Funnily enough, I don't know how heavy a kangaroo is, so I don't know.
How heavy is a kangaroo? Let me just finish the episode with that. How heavy is a kangaroo?
Oh, wow, Jesus Ben's... Christ, I'm well ahead of you, Ben. Well ahead. A large male can be 2 meters, 6'7", and weigh 90 kilos.
Okay, it's not massive.
96 kilos.
That's a big adult male, isn't it?
You have to train for a bit, I think, to do that. You can't just bench him off the bat.
I'm not benching 200 pounds ever in my life, I don't think.
What about a red kangaroo? They're only 47 grams. You can do that.
47 grams?
Kilograms.
47 grams? Was he living on top of your big toe?
He's the size of a blade of grass.
47 kilos, that's the bar plus.
Right, lads.
20's either side.
It's an hour and a half. It's quarter past nine on a Monday night, and we're talking about this. We've got to sort our lives.
Quarter past ten for me.
Yeah, right. You're on holiday, mate. You're on holiday. Right. I'm going to head off, boys, honestly. It's been a great podcast. I've enjoyed this episode. I think it's been a great little chat. So thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome, mate.
You're most welcome.
All right. Thanks for joining us, people. See you next week. Later.